Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Ewan McGregor. Needs no introduction. Thanks so much for joining us. We're here to talk about your new movie, Last Days in the Desert. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this movie, it's a story that a lot of us know, but, you know, maybe a slightly different take on it. So it's the biblical story of Jesus fasting and praying in the desert, 40 days and 40 nights. And I understand you play both Jesus and Lucifer in this. If this was Bergman, you're like the chess match against yourself here. How do you play both of those roles?
Well, you approach it, how I did it was I approached it being very daunted by playing Jesus and spending most of my time worrying about that and thinking about how to you know, portray somebody who's known personally and in a very deep way by so many people in the world, which is kind of a daunting feeling as an actor. And I spent most of my time thinking about him, and then really realized once we got down there in the desert of Anza Borrego to shoot that I hadn't given the devil very much thought at all. So, but he seemed to come a little bit more naturally to me anyway. I don't know what that tells you about me. But
you had more practice playing him already.
It was a very, very beautiful experience. It was lovely to work with Rodrigo Garcia, who I knew and liked. And he's a really brilliant filmmaker and somebody who he's made choices to make the films he makes and keep control of them and has never sort of... isn't a director for hire, but really a director of... as an artist, and he was teamed up with his old friend, Emmanuel Lubezki, who's won the Academy Award the last 2 or 3 years running for his work as a cinematographer. And so to be working with them on this script, which was such a interesting look at something, it is a film about... my daughter's just going to school. Goodbye. It is a film about Jesus in the desert during that period, but it's really a film about fathers and sons. Rodrigo sat down to write a film about fathers and sons. Rodrigo had a very powerful father. Gabriel Garcia Marquez is Rodrigo's father. And I think he was writing about that relationship. I'm not suggesting he was writing about his own relationship, but the relationship between a son and a very powerful father. And he ended up writing just about the biggest and most powerful one of all, which was Jesus and God, and invented a story within that period of when Jesus was in the desert, which isn't really covered very much in the Bible. There's not a great deal written about it. So we don't know what was happening there other than he was tempted by the devil, I believe. And so he's focused on that, and the scenes are really, all of them, I think, an exploration of the father and son relationship, or a parent and child. And in some of the scenes, I felt very much like the son, and in some of the scenes, I felt much like the father. So it was just an interesting exploration of something. Great writing, great people involved, and I think we made a really good film.
You're talking about Jesus, and you're talking about the son and the father. I think there's a lot of analogies there. Yeah, so that plays in naturally. We've seen lots of different Jesus roles over the years. You have your traditional ones, you know, like Ben-Hur or Max von Sydow, Greatest Story Ever Told, that sort of stuff. But then you have your tortured final days in Last Temptation of Christ, and then even the one that I think might have even got close to cracking that nut was Gospel According to St. Matthew, sort of this, you know, Marxist socialist before even, you know, turning over the money tables and all that, you know, and it might not even be recognized nowadays by a lot of people who claim his name. But so out of all those different sort of versions, sort of what was sort of your angle on that compared to those?
Well, I think what we didn't do was we never ever set out to make a gospel movie. We didn't set out to make a film about Jesus. It wasn't the point. I think the films you've just cited are films that are telling the gospel story of Jesus, and I mean, maybe not the Last Temptation of Christ, which was surrounded in such controversy at the time.
Right.
But we didn't set out to make it. It's Rodrigo. I've done a lot of press with Rodrigo, and he says, you know, you can think your film's about whatever you think it's about, but if you put Jesus as your leading figure, the film's about Jesus.
Right.
And he's sort of right there. But I didn't think, and he didn't think, we never set out to be making a story about Jesus or making a gospel film.
Right.
What we did was set out to make a film about the exploration, I think, of this parental-child relationship.
Gotcha.
And the leading figure happened to be Jesus. You know?
Gotcha. I spoke with Emmanuel Lubezki at the Oscars right after he won for Revenant backstage, and and you mentioned he's won three in a row. It was Gravity, Birdman, and Revenant. But what was it like working with him? Was this your first time with him? And B, you know, sort of like, how does he work compared to other cinematographers you've been with?
I mean, I know Chivo because our kids go to the same school, so I've known him as an acquaintance for years, and I like him. I mean, he's always away working, so I just see him very rarely. But I like him, and I like his style. And then watching, I think I wouldn't be able to tell you what his style was, because I think he adapts to every story he's telling. I think
gotcha.
Great artists do that. They morph themselves, or they're... So in our case, we had very, very little... I don't even know if we had any lights. I think we didn't... We tried never to use... Oh, yeah, we had some night scenes around the campfire. So during the night scenes, there was a few lights. But really, we were in the middle of the desert, and we couldn't drive trucks in there or anything. So there was really no lighting. And during the day, he only used available light and, you know, shading or reflecting or whatever. But he used the sun to light with. And I think it was just amazing to watch his artistry. And then how important it was to be shooting in the right light, so at the right time, you know, in the more at we would be there at 4:30 in the morning waiting for the sun to come up, and then we try and shoot a scene in that morning in that light just as the sun was coming up.
Yeah.
So there was a really interesting the impact that that his work, his expertise had on the actual shooting of the film was hand in hand. I haven't seen that maybe before where. You know, we would shoot a scene in 20 minutes because the light was great, which meant that was fast. You have to work
yeah.
quickly. And then we would sit and wait for hours till the light was right again. So,
yeah.
And Rodrigo, our director, grew up with Chivo, and in actual fact used to be his camera operator. So they're in the same world. They come from the same world. And the
Definitely.
Visual aspect of this movie is really... spectacular.
Yeah, yeah. So I know we're up against the clock, so we'll probably have to make this the last one. I know you got other ones. But if you can't tell, I'm a big movie history guy, and I love sort of, let's extrapolate Ewan McGregor out, where this role sort of fits in your career sort of a thing. You know, you're always ahead of the curve. You know, without Trainspotting, there probably wouldn't be Requiem for a Dream. Without Moulin Rouge, that kicked off a whole era of musicals. Let me throw out a director's name and give me just a quick rapid fire on the way they work. So Danny Boyle, what do you take away from him?
Danny was my first director, and I because I worked with him on Shallow Grave, and I worked with him on Trainspotting, and then I worked with him on Life Less Ordinary, and I'm about to work with him in 2 weeks' time on Trainspotting 2, which we're shooting in Scotland. He sort of taught me how I've just directed a movie, and he sort of, although I worked with him 20 years ago, he sort of taught me how I think it's done best. And I copied or used a lot of his. I rehearsed with the actors alone on set. I would bring the DP in, and then I would show the crew before we shoot it. I tried to rehearse before shooting with the actors. There was just some sort of really basic things that he does. He encourages you to have something to aim for in every take. He doesn't just say one more, one more, one more. He's giving you things to reach for. And as an actor, that's very satisfying. You come home feeling that you've done your best work with him.
Did you pick up elements from Baz Luhrmann and George Lucas as well? Like, what elements did each of them teach you as a director?
With Baz definitely, because he's a wonderful fantasist and a great imaginator and a wanderer. And I loved his spirit and that anything's possible. And I loved working with him very much. And again, there's something about his exploring through takes, allowing you or encouraging you to keep searching for different flavors in a scene during the takes, which is really good. George is a different ballgame because it was so technical. The Star Wars films were a very technical exercise. And I don't think I would make a film like that myself, like a green screen type movie like that. So that's a much more technical thing.
Definitely.
Working with him.
Definitely. All right. Well, we'll cut you loose, but thanks so much for taking the time. We're a big fan, and I think movie history will remember you kindly, sir. So thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. That's very kind. Thank you.
All right. Bye.